It's Tuesday, February 7th, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight we talk about fear and through the desert.
Let's do this!
So today was yet another go to work and do not so much day.
I don't know, I had a good day.
I went and I actually took a wrong turn and I went around in a circle a little bit and then I got to work and I didn't do much and then
Okay, so if you didn't do anything, then why are you bothering telling everyone out there that you didn't do anything?
I did some stuff.
You said you didn't. You said today was just a boring crap day. Why even bring it up? Why not just get right into the news?
Because that's what you were saying before we started.
No, before we started, I said let's get into the news, since you obviously don't have anything to say about today.
You said let's get into the news, and I didn't want to, because we never do that.
Yeah, but you didn't have anything to say before the news.
I was going to talk about how boring it was.
Okay.
It was real boring.
Yeah, great. Anyway.
So, while I was being bored at work, Apple decided to release the awaited and rumored Nano that only has 1 gigabyte of space.
Great, so they released a crappier Nano.
Well, the thing is, it's only $150, so if you're poor...
Wait a minute, it's $150 for a 1 gigabyte Nano.
Yep.
How much is it for the bigger one?
The 2 gig is $200, and the 4 gig is $250.
All right. I mean, I love music, and I like little MP3 players, but I just really don't see any of those being worth that much money.
Well, the 1 gig shuffle was $100, but now the 1 gig shuffle has been discounted because the 1 gig Nano exists. So if you really wanted a 1 gig shuffle, now's the time.
Nah.
I don't really see the point of the shuffle. I mean, you don't know what you're going to listen to.
I guess the point of it was that it's cheap.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you're a podcast listener, that doesn't really help because you can't select episodes or anything. I guess it's good if you have just a lot of music that you want to put on shuffle, then I guess the shuffle works. Or if you're exercising, it doesn't weigh anything and you don't care if you drop it. So I guess it's good for that, too.
Yeah, though usually when I exercise, I watch TV, like an anime or something.
Well, what if you're, like, you know, running around the hills and the mountains?
If I'm running, I don't want to have music with me. I want to enjoy where I am.
Whatever. A lot of people run around with music on.
Yeah, I just find that kind of... Plus, if you get all sweaty, I mean, you can't really wear normal headphones. They're big and heavy. If you wear earplugs, they'll just get all sweaty and nasty. There's really no easy way.
I don't know. The ones I have would be all right.
Yeah, let's see you wear those and work up a good sweat.
Yeah, why not?
All right. Try it someday.
Why? What do you think will happen?
It gets all, as the sweat pools around the outside of the plug and starts seeping in through the ear.
I don't know about you, but my ears don't collect sweat in them.
And you've never had a good workout.
I think you just got some problems with your ears, sweat glands.
Hey, if I go out for an hour run, by the time I come back, I pretty much look like I've been running in a rainstorm.
Yeah, anyway, so there's 1 gig Nano. I guess it does everything my Nano does. And you know what? Actually, I checked, and I don't really have more than a gig of stuff on my 4 gig Nano. But,
If I can get a Nano for less than $100, that's when I'm going to jump ship and buy an iPod.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Then I don't think I'm going to buy an iPod.
And don't get one. You can get one of those other brands that make things that aren't as good.
See, the thing is, honestly, as much as I listen to music, I really have no need for a small portable music player.
Mm.
I mean, I listen to music in my car, I listen to music in my computer room, and I listen to music in the house. And when I'm out, I'm really only out doing things. I mean, I can't listen to music so much at work since I'm doing a lot of tech support or walking around the line talking to people.
No, I listen to music at work.
Yeah, well, you're a coder. Music. You just sit there and code.
I listen to music in the car. I listen to music between work and the car. Listen to music on the train when
Wait, you listen to music between... You don't ride the train anymore.
Well, when I did.
Yeah, but you don't anymore.
Listen to music, you know, whenever.
Yeah, if I had a train ride...
Listen to podcasts whenever.
And if I had a train ride or something, I'd probably definitely have an iPod.
Well,
the fact that
you can use the iPod in your car with your broken CD player.
I'll just play CDs.
In your broken CD player.
No, I fixed it.
Yeah, that's not what happened last time we were in the car.
It worked just fine. The only thing is that it doesn't work when it's really humid out.
The iPod works in all weathers.
And you know what, when it's really humid, honestly, I'll just listen to NPR, because that's free.
Yeah, I mostly download NPR, so I don't have to listen to all the stupid ads. Except for the,
See, when there's ads, I switch to the other NPR station that's on a different schedule.
Two NPRs in the same place?
Yeah, well, it's weird. This area, we live in an area that has a lot of mountains, so radio stations come and go crazily. And I actually lose an NPR station on my way to work and have to switch to another one anyway.
Wow. It's kind
even of, though, and honestly, I drive 5 minutes to work. I live right there. Yeah. So.
But see, that's what iPods are all about, is you just download it, listen to it, and you don't have to worry about fiddling with stations or anything.
Yeah, I guess it's just not worth the money to me. I'm kind of a cheapskate that I'm not that interested in a lot of these expensive gadgets. I mean, man, I like them, and if I had them for free, I'd use them left and right, but
man,
I've
man, you change your mind every day. One day you're like, yeah, I'm getting a Nano as soon as I get this money.
See, I say that, you know
and
what?
And then you're like, I'm not getting one, it's too expensive. Then
you know
you're
what,
like,
oh,
I'm totally getting one real soon.
See, I point out that I've stayed constant, and that oftentimes I think, oh, I'd really like one. But then when it comes down to, like, I go to the site and I go to buy it, and then I'm like, oh yeah, it costs that much money. For that much money, I can go to another con, and then I go to the con instead.
Why don't you go to the con and get the Nano, which is what I do.
Because instead of spending my extra income on gadgets, I'm dumping it all into my student loans, and they're going away real quick.
I could do that, too.
You make less money than me. Plus, you don't really go to so many cons. I guess I have more expenses in that regard.
It's not that much money.
KatsuCon is going to set me back over $300 at least.
As far as I'm concerned, anything less than $500 at this point is just bloop.
Then give me $499.
No, I just make a lot of money now, and it seems that, you know, at the beginning I was being all frugal like a college guy was, you know, and I had piles and piles of money just piling up, and I was like, you know what? I can buy stuff. And even though I buy stuff, I still manage to pay everything and still have money left over.
See, I don't buy stuff so much, but I spend a lot of money on travels and eating out and events and various
I spend
things.
Lots of money on travels and eating out.
No, really, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I'll point out that when I was living out here alone before you moved out, pretty much every weekend I drove many hours to various places. I spend more money on conventions and food than I do on, I think, anything else in my life except all my student loans.
I spend just as much money on outside food as you do, if not more.
I highly doubt that.
And then you only go to like 2 or 3 conventions I don't go to.
Yeah, and you know, let's see, KatsuCon's going to set me back about $300.
So 300, all right.
Animazement's going to set me back at least 500 because I got to fly there.
All right.
All right, that's already a lot of money right there, $800.
It's not even $1,000.
Yeah, it's not even
$1,000. I have thousands and thousands
of
dollars in extra
money. That's a badass computer.
I have thousands upon thousands of extra dollars I'm not using.
Yeah, I've also had a car.
If I went to those cons, I would still have thousands of dollars left.
All right, fine, then be happy in your money bag's richness.
I am.
I mean, I make more money than you, but I also spend more money than you.
I don't know what the hell you're spending it on. That's the real, just amazing thing here.
Mostly, I spend it on my loans.
I spend money on my loans, too.
I put almost $1,000 every month into my various student loans.
I could do that, and I'd still be okay.
Yeah, you know what? I'm doing that now, and then all my extra money I spend on other stuff.
I don't know what the hell you're buying. You must be getting ripped off by someone, or maybe you have a secret mafia payment you're making. I don't know. It must be. Anyway, what else happened today?
Well, I'm also subsidizing your ass in the rent for the past 7 months.
It's like chump change.
$200.
Whatever.
It adds up.
It doesn't add up very quickly.
You owe me almost $1,000 if I wanted that back.
It's like nothing.
All right, then give me $1,000.
Not a chance.
But you just said it was nothing.
Yeah, but I'm still not going to give it to you.
Why not? It's nothing. You don't care.
Because if you're a cheap bastard, I'm going to be one too.
It's just that I really often don't see the benefit, at least for the money. Like, I'd love a laptop, but it's not worth the money it would take to get a laptop that I would like.
I don't know. A lot of times, though, you don't see the benefit of things, and then you get them, and then you're like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever.
Oh yeah, if I get something, I mean, if I just had a laptop now, it'd be awesome. I'd use it forever. But it's not worth the money to get one. I mean, I really want a MacBook, and I was almost thinking about buying one, but I decided against that, because I'd rather go places and do a bunch of stuff with that money.
Or you can do both.
Nah, not really, because I want to pay off my debt. I'm not going to put less money into my student loans. I want those gone as soon as possible.
You can do all three.
See, no, I really can't.
Where the hell is your money going? Oh, my God.
Okay.
I can pay for this car. Oh, I just don't get it. I have to check your accounting sometime.
Yeah.
See where that money's going.
See, keep in mind that I have many different student loans. You just have that one.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah, I have that one, but I have a bunch of little ones.
I think it's like bigger than my car loan. It's twice as long.
I mean, listen, I put like $800 a month into my student loans. I put $250 a month into my car payment. I put about $150 a month into car insurance. I put about $600 a month into rent. Mm. That money adds up. Plus, I pay more taxes because I've been working here for a long time. So, I mean, these last 2 years, I've paid the full taxes as though I made all that money. And since I'm not a student anymore, I paid over 10 grand in taxes this year, and I'm not going to get much of it back.
Oh, maybe. I paid almost 10 grand in taxes, and I'm not going to get my stupid New York State taxes back, those bastards, but I think I'm going to get my, like, many 5Gs, I think, of federal taxes back. Which should be nice, because that cancels my car down payment, which is why I made a $5,000 down payment on the car. That was my logic right there. Just get it right back. I should do those taxes. All right.
Yeah, so to get off that tangent, Nintendo, there's a nice little interview here on Forbes with Perrin Kaplan.
Let me look up who she is.
She's probably the VP of something.
Yeah.
At Nintendo something.
Perrin Kaplan, the Vice President of Marketing and Corporate Affairs for Nintendo.
Nintendo Europe, Nintendo Japan,
Nintendo America.
Oh, okay.
The only one that really matters here, for us at least.
Yeah.
And they're just talking about Nintendo's Blue Ocean strategy and how a lot of analysts say they're going to blow Microsoft and Sony out of the water.
Yeah, well, it's just basically, you know, it seems to be happening in every market these days.
Well, yeah, but you see, Ford claimed that they were a Blue Ocean company, and they kind of fucked themselves.
Yeah, if you don't get it, Blue Ocean means it's sort of like an analogy pertaining to pioneering and exploring, in that there's currently an ocean where all the customers are, and people are fighting in that ocean over which customers go to who, and that's the red ocean, because it's filled with the blood of battle.
Well, it's the red ocean is a finite resource. There's a finite number of people in it, and a finite number of resources to spend on it.
The idea of blue ocean is that there's a bunch of people who aren't in anyone's, you know, customer, and you would go over and say, I'm not fighting with you guys anymore over this red ocean. I'm going to go sail into this brand new blue ocean over there that's
now,
completely not
what
filled
it means
with
specifically
blood.
Is that Nintendo, I mean, currently there's a market of gamers, and gamers as defined by Microsoft and Sony, and there's a limited number of them, and you can only get so many of them from the pie, and Sony is just pretty much winning that war.
Yeah, it is a demographic primarily consisting of teenage boys who like FPSs and Grand Theft Autos and racing games and sports games.
So Nintendo is trying to go into different waters and get people who aren't currently in that market into the market and into the market under Nintendo's name.
Yep, which basically says, all right, we obviously can't make games to get all those guys to buy Nintendo games instead of Sony games. Let's get all these other people, mommies and kids and dads and grandpas and
casual gamers,
everyone else in the world, to buy Nintendo games. And that way, the only customers that Sony and Microsoft will have will be teenage boys and the like.
And it seems to be working really well. They talk here about how the DS has basically kicked the PSP's ass.
Yeah, the DS is just, beating the shit. The DS is so crazy in Japan that they're re-importing them from the US.
They sold 13 million DS units last year, and all of Nintendo's portables combined have 82% of the portable software sales market.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Yeah, 82% of game consoles out there that are portable are Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. It's mostly GBA, which is like 50%+.
Yeah, though the DS is coming in strong.
The DS is coming in very strong.
And also the PSP, even though it has sold fairly well in the U.S., none of the games for it have sold at all, really.
Yeah, because it's being purchased, and they count it in terms of market share, in terms of who has the most, you know, video game portable hardwares out there. And you look at the numbers, and there's a bunch of PSPs out there. But they're not really being used to play games. They're being used to play ROMs and to UMD movies and downloaded movies and that sort of thing.
Yeah, how's that? Most people buy a DS and play Nintendo games. Everyone else buys a PSP to play Nintendo games.
Yeah, that's pretty hilarious.
The other thing is that Nintendo, this is kind of an interesting distinction, but it's kind of like the difference between how Otakon reports its attendance and how Anime Expo reports its attendance. But Sony reports every unit that is sold or shipped to a distributor or to a retail outlet. Nintendo counts things that are sold to a customer.
Well, that's just old, you know, company accounting numbering talk.
Yeah, but
you know, if you're winning, you always report, you know, the most impressive number that you can report, you know, that makes it still look like you're winning. And if you're losing, you report the most impressive number that you can report to make it look like you're not losing by that much.
True, though Nintendo has always made a point of reporting that number, at least. Even when they were losing with the GameCube, when they were in second place by far. They didn't try to pretend they were doing better than they were.
Well, because the number that they were showing was still, you know, it was accurate enough. If that number, I guarantee you, if the number of GameCube sold was like one, and the number of GameCube sold to stores was a million, they wouldn't be saying we've sold one GameCube.
I don't know, because like they seem to stand by that practice of only reporting direct sales.
They would be like a million GameCube shipped. That's what they would be doing. Anyway.
But Sony very specifically just kind of backs off this and doesn't say where their numbers come from.
A lot of companies keep a lot of secrets that are all weird for no reason. I mean, if you try to ask anyone from Gillette how long the razor blades should go before they're changed, they'll never tell you.
I can tell the answer about two shaves. Those things are such pieces of crap. Oh, my God.
Actually, a lot of people are... There's a big conspiracy going around the net. People are like, you never have to change them. You can buy a Mach 3 and use it for a year.
What? No, you can't.
I know. I don't know what these people... They must be shaving themselves with, like, just flat pieces of metal. I don't know what the hell...
I mean, these are probably the same people who say if you put acetone in your gas tank, you'll get better gas mileage.
Yeah, and explode your gas tank.
Actually, no, it probably won't cause any damage other than maybe to your catalytic converter.
Yeah, you don't want to mess that up, though. You can get in big trouble.
Only if you're in a state that has emissions testing.
You know, my car actually has this emissions equipment because New York has evil testing. All the exhaust goes through my catalytic converter two times before it leaves the car. It's crazy.
That's probably a good thing, because the county we live in has been trying to have emissions testing as part of its inspection for a long time, and I'm kind of for it, because it'll really screw all those frickin' rice boys with their giant loud fart pipes.
Oh, yeah, but...
They always seem to drive by our house late at night.
If you have a fart pipe, or
damn,
if you take your catalytic converter out, you should totally be busted, but, I mean, running it through twice, it's like, all right, what is that? How much does it really buy you? I don't know.
Well, how much does it hurt you? You lose what, 6 horsepower?
Something like that, yeah.
Great. It's probably worth it.
Safety.
See, the thing is, 6 or 7 horsepower, unless you took the car on a track and did many, many laps, there's no way you can even begin to notice that.
No, I don't really notice anything. The car goes fine. But, you know, the emissions doesn't really benefit me in any way whatsoever.
It does, you know, environment, pollution, etc.
All the things I don't care about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, things of the day. Well, when I was in high school, for any of you who don't know me, I was real big into marching bands and drum corps. And there was a time when I considered pursuing it professionally instead of going into IT.
Bando.
What do you want? I mean, the band I marched in, we put over 200 people on the field. And we were fairly well-renowned. We used to travel all over the country competing. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, bragging about your high school marching band is something that most people look down upon.
Hey, it was fun. I would say that the band I was in high school was pretty much all I cared about from high school. Everything I got out of high school, I got out of that band.
Just keep on insulting yourself.
Whatever. I had a good time.
Pretty sad. The band in my high school was the greatest. Oh, my God. It's like, you see a guy doing that, and you're like rolling your eyes. And
whatever. I had a good time. Band camp was fun.
Yeah, and no matter what it was for you, everyone else looks at it like,
I mean, my school was kind of weird in that, honestly, people really didn't care about the football team or anything. And they'd come and watch the halftime show, and then everyone would leave, and then the football team would lose.
Yeah, our school had a band, too, and there were plenty of people who were into it. And everyone else was like, oh, those freaking bandos. They're all freaking rare.
Eh. Plus, it was fun. I mean, I got to go march in the Citrus Bowl and all that crap. But anyway,
yeah, they all did the
I was
same
really
thing.
Into it. And I used to go watch marching band competitions, like the actual drum corps. And my thing of the day is a nice Google video compilation of some of the cooler, I guess, sets that people have done over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've never seen marching bands, like real marching bands, not like a high school marching band, but like a professional marching band doing its thing, at least give these videos a look, because it's really interesting. I think it's a neat sport.
It's not a sport, first of all.
Actually, yeah, it's very much a physical competitive sport, and there are competitions all over the country.
No, it's not. I don't consider it.
It's a competition.
It is a competition.
It's a sport in as far as, say, figure skating is a sport.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is it's more like figure skating and less like football, because it's more like a subjective thing with the scoring and not so much a points getting thing.
Yeah, but I still say it's a sport.
I don't even think figure skating's a sport. For me, sports are games. It has to be a game where there is also an athletic component. That's what a sport is, to me, anyway.
Okay.
That's my, because, you know, everyone likes to have arguments over that's a sport and that's not and that is and that isn't, you know, and all that bullshit.
Wait a minute. So Nanofictionary. Say there's a game where the only determining factor in who wins is a subjective judgment by external people.
It's not a game.
So Nanofictionary isn't a game?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
It's not a game. See, that's the thing. In the dictionary, there are multiple definitions for the word game, as there are for many words. You know, there's game one, game two, game three. When I say game, in this context anyway, I mean the game definition that talks about, like, you know, competition, winning and losing and all that. There's another definition for game that's pretty much just means fun thing you do, you know? It's like, oh, a fun pastime, an activity of enjoyment, you know, is a game. And in terms of activity of enjoyment, sure, Nanofictionary is a game. But in terms of, like, you know, a serious competition of luck, skill, or ability or whatever, Nanofictionary is not.
All right. Well, I disagree, but I definitely prescribe to a broader definition of game. But anyway, if you've never seen a marching band, like a real one, check out this video. It's cool. If you have seen them, then check these guys out because they're some of the best in the world. And that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. So I like merchandise, like especially merchandise you can't get.
Consumer haw?
Well, it's really, I don't know if I like it because I can't get it or because I wasn't able to get it, or I don't know. But the point is there are a lot of cool things out there that you can't buy in stores because they're from Japan and they usually involve Nintendo. And I already got one of them, and it was a little diorama. And, like, I didn't realize when I got the diorama, but Mario is like a magnet, and you can move him around with this magnet, and it's really, really cool. But the latest trend is these things called dots. Now, did you ever play with, like, Light Bright or anything?
I had a Light Bright. I liked it a little bit, and then I got tired of it.
Yeah, that's pretty much how Light Bright goes. But imagine if you had a Light Bright that didn't light up, so it was crummier, but at the same time, it came with, it came with dots.
All right, wow. Basically, these are just little Nintendo things where you can put pixels from various palettes to make various Nintendo sprites.
It's awesome.
To put it very succinctly, since Scott was going to go off on something.
Yeah, so the newest one, there's one where you can make Mario and a Goomba and stuff, but the newest one you can make Blue Ring Link and Gibdo and the Ghost from the Graveyard and...
You don't know the ghost's name?
I forget the ghost's name. I'd remember it if you said it. Like, if you said a bunch of things and said, which one of those is the name of the ghost in the graveyard, I'd say that one. But I don't remember. The blue... He's not a Tektite. A lever. The guys that come out of the ground are levers. A Goria. A blue Goria.
I remember a long time ago, we had an argument. It was a fierce one. About what the name of the first sword in Zelda 1 was.
Oh, God.
Because we remember there's the White Sword and the Master Sword.
Yeah, you can make the White Sword and the Magic Shield with this set.
Oh, dude.
Oh, you can also make the normal shield, but anyway.
But there's the original sword, and I had always called it the Red Sword because it was red.
I had always called it the Wooden Sword because I remember seeing the words Wooden Sword somewhere, and it was brown. What other sword is brown? It's not made of metal unless it's rusted.
Yeah, so we argued about this for quite some time, and then I remembered that I actually had the original instruction book, and I dug it out and I opened it, and you know what it was called?
Sword.
The Sword.
It wasn't even called The Sword, it was just called Sword.
So, yeah. That's that anecdote.
You know what you want to do? You want to get 4 freaking heart containers before even beating any levels and go get the white sword that's useful, because the sword sucks. Unless you're one of those awesome guys who beats the game with sword.
Well, anyway, since today is video game, board game, and et cetera day, Well, first of all, like we said yesterday, we were in Rochester over the weekend, and between the two of us, we bought $180 worth of board games.
A lot of board games. And you know what? We're going to UberCon this weekend. We're going to get more games, probably.
Yeah, we're going to get more games and then play all the games we bought.
So expect at least one or two German board games a week for the next few weeks on Tuesdays.
Now, today we're going to talk about Through the Desert, which is a fun little pastel camel game.
We played it a long time ago, but we recently got it again.
Yeah, because it was kind of cheap. Mm-hmm. But also, Scott, I didn't get to play it. My computer's slow and I don't have Windows. But Scott played the Fear demo that we had talked about a while ago.
Yeah, it was that new PC game, Fear. Fear is pretty much, I installed it. It was 600 megs. I got the single player demo because I didn't really want to play any multiplayer business. And it was an FPS. And the first thing I got to say about it is I had to sit through about 5 to 10 minutes of cinematic, I can't control anything stuff before I could play.
What?
Yeah. I mean, what is up with games trying to be movies these days?
You know, it's not a new trend at all.
I know it's not a new trend, but when games started doing that, I stopped playing the games that did it. So, you know, I don't know. I just really don't like not being able to control stuff. I remember the first time I saw Final Fantasy IX, the first, like, 20 minutes, you really didn't do anything. You just watched plot happen. And I was just like, God damn, if I'm not doing stuff, why am I playing a game? Just make a movie. That's the first thing about fear. The second thing is, let's talk about the FPS-ness of it. It's a pretty standard FPS. You walk, you shoot, you reload. You can use any weapon as melee, so you can, like, hit people with any gun. That was pretty nice.
Uh-huh.
You can lean left and right, which Soldier of Fortune had a long time ago, so that's not a big deal.
I never really liked games that had that. It never seemed very realistic feeling to do it.
It doesn't seem realistic feeling, but when you do it, it's pretty much like, I can hide behind this and then, you know, shoot and then hide again without going up. You can do it to the left and to the right. So, you know how, like, when you're aiming at a guy behind a crate and you're just aiming above the crate because you know he's going to pop up? If you have this mechanic, you don't know if you have to aim to the left, right, or above the crate because the guy can pop out on any side. That's what that's about. But anyway, it doesn't have really anything special. I got to use about four or five different guns during the demo, and all of them were pretty boring. I mean, the pistol shot, a submachine gun shot a lot of things really fast, and all over the place, too. I couldn't control the accuracy for crap. There was some sort of assault rifle, which is also kind of crummy. You know, I guess it killed guys pretty well, but I don't know. There was a shotgun that didn't really feel like a shotgun, and I don't know, I didn't like any of the guns.
So what, was the game just an FPS?
Well, I can see the reason that people are making a big deal out of this. It's because it was an FPS sort of combined with a Resident Evil kind of scariness.
Wait a minute, so you'll be walking around and then something will jump through a window in front of you.
Sometimes, yeah. The other thing is the bad guys do all sorts of acrobatic things. Like, I threw a grenade into a room, and the bad guy jumped out the window through the glass of the room out onto, like, the catwalk, and then tried to shoot me.
On the catwalk.
Yeah, and I can see how people think that's cool, and, you know, in that one part of the demo, it was pretty cool. It's like, oh, look, they gave the AI the ability to do some stuff. But later, the bad guys were, like, running around, jumping, and doing acrobatics that didn't really help them strategically, and I just killed them.
Great. So it's not like the freaking ninjas in Half-Life that just flew around and killed you, and you could barely see them.
Yeah, this is like, the bad guys are normal bad guys, but they try to do, you know, they try to give them cinematic action movie abilities, but they don't actually use it strategically. They just use it for show. It's very cinematic.
Uh-huh.
Now, the one thing the game has is this slow motion, which I figured would be all cool, like Matrix-ness, because the part of the plot is that you have advanced reflexes. So you push a button for slow motion, and the game slows down, which gives you the opportunity to, like, shoot a bunch of guys or, you know, I don't know. The problem with this is it slowed me down also. So that made it pretty much completely useless in every way I can imagine.
Not really. I could see how that would give you more time to react to something.
I guess, but what I really wanted was slow down time, and I go around killing everyone, and then time stops being slowed down. Because I'm also slowed down, sure, I can get a perfect headshot in every guy I shoot, but I move so slow, I can't really get enough shots off, and I can't really move very fast, so, like, you want to use the slow motion when you're in a dangerous situation, like guys are shooting at you. But if you turn it on, now you're going so slow you can't really run away, so you're just taking the damage in slow motion.
Well, maybe the slow-mo should be used in different situations. Maybe it wasn't intended the way you're trying to use it.
Maybe, but they told you, when you're in a tight spot, use the slow motion to, you know, make out. So, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't figure out any use for it, but maybe if you had really bad FPS skills and really bad aim, and maybe because the guns are really wildly inaccurate, you would turn the slow motion on and then pick guys off with a pistol to conserve ammo, just shooting them in the head perfectly, you know. But if you could probably only get two shots off in the time the slow motion lasts. And the game gave you all sorts of med kits that you could, like, save for later, so you never died. Anyway. Then the last thing that happened in the demo was the scary part. Ooh. Where, like, this ghost is, like, jumps out at you. And, of course, the ghost is some little girl who you can't see her face.
Oh, okay. Typical scary Japanese thing.
Yeah, what the hell is up with using little tiny girls to be the scariest thing?
Well, the first time someone did that, it was really scary because it's just this incongruous kind of strange thing. But it seems like everything's doing it lately, so if I see a little girl, I immediately think, wow, she's the horrible evil.
Yeah, it's like occasionally, like they would jump out at me, like I opened a door, and all of a sudden, the room was upside down, and the girl was standing on the ceiling, and blood was dripping from the walls, and I couldn't open the door, and whatever. And as soon as it happened, I was like, ooh, something happened. But then while it was happening, I was like, oh, whatever. It's just stupid scary crap. And then as soon as I was about to fight something big and with this nice rockety type weapon, it wasn't really a rocket launcher. It was pretty much a thing that shot had held very few ammo and shot big, powerful shots. The demo ended.
Great.
I guess I can't really, you know, make that a complaint against the game itself. It's just a complaint against the demo, which, of course, they do that on purpose to make you want to buy the game.
I guess it doesn't sound terribly intriguing.
No, it's just an FPS with some fancy graphics stuff and some, I guess, quote, horror.
I mean, to admit, we're pretty jaded about FPSs.
Yeah, I mean...
We grew up through the, you know, Doom 2, oh my god, it's the greatest thing ever. Quake 2, it's the most moddable thing ever. Counter-Strike, it's the best game ever. Quake 3, wow, it's not as good as Quake 2.
This game really didn't have anything that Soldier of Fortune 1 didn't have. And Soldier of Fortune 1, I think, was one of the best single-player FPSs there is. And this
I don't know,
really
I
doesn't...
honestly, I want to put big props into Duke Nukem 3D.
Duke Nukem 3D is great, but have you played Soldier of Fortune 1?
Actually, yeah, and I do really like it.
Yeah, it's a really, that's one of the best single-players, except for, like, Half-Life 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But this really... It just didn't offer me anything new, and it wasn't particularly exciting. Maybe if it had come out before Soldier of Fortune 1, I would have been like, oh-ho, and treated it just like it was Soldier of Fortune 1. But as far as I'm concerned, it's that game with new graphics and some scariness.
Well, there you have it.
Yep.
And I guess moving on to the German board game tonight, Through the Desert. It's one of the Rainer Knizia tile-laying trilogy, even though they're not all really tile-laying.
I guess it's tile laying because you just replace the camels with tiles and there you go.
Yeah, I read somewhere that people talked about how tile laying trilogy was just a mistranslation of something he said once and then it kind of stuck.
Yeah, well, you know, you release three games in a row that are sort of tile laying-ish and that's what people are going to say.
But it's a Rainer Knizia game where it's very, very, very simple. You have little camels. Well, you have four guys on four different color camels. Four or five?
Five whatever. Guys, I think.
Five guys. And there are a whole bunch of piles of little camels. Every turn, you draw any two camels you want and place them on the board in a Tron-type style, try to surround things and touch things. You can't run through other people's lines.
It's sort of like Nibbles plus Tron.
Basically, you want to touch oases, which are little trees. You want to surround or touch little watering hole holes. And you want to prevent your opponent from doing the same.
Well, you want to surround pretty much anything because that's where you get a ton of points. Is by surrounding.
It's incredibly simple, but there is very much a depth of, not kind of strategy, but a lot of tactics of, oh, he's going this way, then I'll go this way to block him off.
Yeah, and it's like, you gotta know, like, if you devote camels to blocking another guy, that means you're not devoting camels to getting points for you, and it's tricky like that.
You can't really make big sweeping moves, because you can only place two camels at a time, and... You pretty much telegraph what you're going to do every time you play camels. Oh, look, Rim's trying to make a line across that area of the desert. Here I come.
Yeah, or, oh, he's making a line across that area of the desert. There's nothing I can do about it. Let me go over here and try to make a line across the desert.
Oh, no, I have to go stop that other line, but now he has time to stop my line.
Oh.
Now, of course, that's the two-player version. Playing with the full allotment of four or five people, the game's very different.
Yeah.
I mean, every time your turn comes around, you just play two camels. And then four other people each play two camels before it gets to you again.
It can get really painful in the four and five players. You're pretty much just scrounging for points as they get cleaned up almost immediately.
Yep.
And your chances of surrounding something are almost nil. Because there's always someone in the way.
I used to always have success. I'll point out that in the two games of this we played since we bought it, I won both times.
Yeah, it's because I always got stuck and like I didn't want to devote resources to stopping you because I thought that I could do better by just collecting points for me.
But no.
No.
And also then, like, I had when placed I tried camels in your way ahead of time, ready for you to try anything.
Yeah, I tried to do that, but not so well.
I mean, I guess we'd love to say more about it, but it's a very simple game, and it's very enjoyable, and it's pretty cheap. So yeah. I highly recommend Rainier Kinesia's Through the Desert.
Yeah, it's really good, especially if you aren't super hardcore.
It's definitely a quick, you can just pick it up, plop it down, play a game straight through in about 5 minutes.
And the pastel camels are pretty.
Yeah, it's got very high production values. Other than the board itself, when you open it, is real wobbly, and you have to kind of break its back a little bit on the bindings to make it flat. Maybe you got to be real careful, or you'll break the board entirely, and then you'll cry.
Maybe that was just our copy, I don't know. But
no, because I remember when way back Luke and Dave bought it, and that's where we first played it, and they had the same issue.
I hate it when people make game boards that don't come out flat right away. It's so annoying.
It's all right, because at least Entdecker had a really nice, solid board with it.
Oh, yeah, that was huge and flat.
Yeah, we'll talk about Entdecker another day, but it's one of the old-school German games in that there's more randomness in it, and more importantly, it was overproduced, as in there are pieces that are unnecessary that are there solely to provide atmosphere.
You know what? I love the huts.
Yeah, whatever, you and your huts.
Safety huts.
You know, there's a lot of controversy about the huts.
Yeah, you know what? I'm on the side of the huts.
Really?
Yeah, because I like the huts. Even though I recognize that they make the game less awesome in German, I recognize that huts are awesome.
Well, actually, apparently if you use, because Entdecker, there are a couple expansions. If you use a certain expansion, the huts are still there, but they're not so random anymore, and it makes the game a lot more like a new style German game.
Really? Maybe we should go for that expansion.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that when we talk about
Entdecker.
Maybe
we should try to play old style Entdecker with no huts.
We'll try to play all the different styles.
Yeah, I think we might have to do a whole show on it, even though I know another podcast has already done a whole show on it.
Yeah, but we might as well.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, that's all we got for board games, but we will say that this weekend, Saturday, we're going to be at UberCon in, Meadowlands?
No, it's in Secaucus.
No, I mean the name of the convention center hotel it's at.
Oh, I think it's at the Something Suites.
Yeah, but it got renamed recently. I saw a tidbit. It's like the Something Meadowlands. God, whatever. It's UberCon. It's in Jersey. North Jersey.
Yep.
It is a gaming convention. I went last year, and it was hella awesome, and we're going to be returning. So anyone who lives in the North Jersey, New York area, come on down. Look for us. We're not hard to spot. We're looking for some board games to play.
Definitely, we will play board games with you if you find us.
Also, we're going to be demoing, hopefully, again, the Burning Wheel role-playing game system, which some people in the forums were talking about, and I've played a demo of once. I want to show it to Scott because we're really thinking about using this system, possibly, and we want to know more about it.
It's the Prime Suites. Prime is in all capital letters.
Uh-huh.
In, I think, Secaucus, New Jersey. I can't find the actual...
Well, you know what? If you Google for UberCon, you'll find the website and all the information.
I think it's UberCon.com. UberCon.com. Secaucus, New Jersey.
Outstanding.
350 Route 3 West.
Yeah, it's in the same place as last year. All I know is the hotel changed names, apparently.
It's the Prime Suites. Oh, it's apparently 20 minutes away from Newark Airport.
Oh, fantastic. I've taken a cab there from here before.
Yep. It's 2 minutes away from Giant Stadium, so it's definitely right near the Meadowlands. I know exactly where this is.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for our opening theme.
Be sure to visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com. If you like our podcasts, you'll love our forums. Make sure you visit them. You can send your email feedback to geeknights@gmail.com. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-333-1537.
Geek Nights airs every weeknight, Monday through Thursday.
Geek Nights is recorded with absolutely no studio and no audience. But unlike those other talk shows, it's actually recorded at night.